about women to keep silent in the assemblies. Attention is given to the limitations placed on women in the assemblies of the church. There's two passages of scripture. 1 Timothy 2:11-12. Let the women learn in silence and all with all subjection, but I suffer not a woman to teach, nor a sub authority over the man, but to be in silence. And this is not about women being worthless or inferior, because the Bible shows God using women for good on many occasions. Paul continues the instructions to the church, order and authority. He even points back to the creation. 1 Timothy 2:13, he said, for Adam was first formed, then Eve. So this means that Paul is not basing his teaching on culture alone, but on a pattern established from creation. And in another one of Paul's writings, 1 Corinthians 14:34, let your women keep silent in the churches, for it is not permitted unto them to speak, but they are commanded to be under obedience, as also saith the law. So, with such limitations, notwithstanding, the early church benefited greatly from the congregations, from the contributions of many women. In the church at Rome, we read of the service of Phoebe, a helper of Paul, and many others. This is all in Romans 16th chapter. The help of Priscilla, even asking for risking her life for Paul, verses 3 and 4. One named Mary, who bestowed much labor. Verse 6, twin sisters, Tryphena and Tryphesia. In chapter, verse 12, and Charissus. Verse 12. So even today, the growth of many churches as a result of much labor by women. How can it be that if women are limited, that they can do much more than just in the public assemblies? Because, you know, our public assembly is actually a small part of the work that's done by a congregation, or it should be a small part of the work that's done by a congregation. You think about the number of hours in a week, and we set aside 2 or 3 hours, somewhere along there, for the assembly. There's much work outside of the assembly to be done, and women are often in a position to provide the work that's needed. So we're going to look now. We've read the scriptures about the women keeping silent in the assembly. We're going to look now at the women's contribution to the church and the congregation. Benevolence. Benevolence is a very important work within the church. is a mark of pure and undefiled religion. As James said in 1 and 27, pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this. Visit the fatherless and the widows in their affliction, and to keep himself unspotted from the world. Ministering to brethren who are sick, poor, imprisoned, is a service rendered to the Lord. It was a service rendered to the Lord himself. Matthew 25, beginning with verse 34. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, come ye, blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for many from the foundation of the world. For I was a hungered, and you gave me meat. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. Naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you come unto me. Then shall the righteous answer, saying, Lord, when saw we thee hungered and fed thee, or thirsty and gave thee drink, or saw thee a stranger and took thee in, or naked and clothed thee, or when saw me thee sick and in prison and came unto thee? And the king shall answer and say unto them, verily I say unto you, inasmuch as you have done it unto one of the least of these, my brethren, you have done it unto me. So all Christians, women, no less than men, are to be involved in this work. James 2, 14 through 16, what does it profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith and have not works? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace, be warmed and filled, notwithstanding you give them not the things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? The women are well suited for the work of benevolence, as the men, showing of mercy, compassion, that's more second nature to a woman than it is to a man. Just look around. Mercy is one of the great gifts the Lord has given his church. Romans 12, 6 through 8, having then gifts, deferring according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the portion of faith. A minister, let us wait on our ministering. And he that teacheth on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation. He that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. And he that ruleth with diligence, and he that showeth mercy with carefulness. Our sisters often possess skills through which benevolence can be rendered. Making of clothes. A sister named Dorcas for needy widows. Acts 9, 36 through 39. Now they was at Joppa, certain disciples named Tabitha, which be interpreted called Dorcas. This woman was full of good works, alms deeds, as which she did. And it came to pass in those days that she was sick and died, whom when they had washed and laid her in the upper chamber, forasmuch as Lydia was nigh to Joppa, and the disciples had heard that Peter was there, they sent unto him two men, desiring him that he would not delay and come to them. Then Peter rose and went unto them, and when he came, They brought him into the upper chamber, and all the widows stood by him weeping and showing the coats and garments which Dorcas made while she was with them. Cooking, babysitting, ministering to sick, extending hospitality. Indeed, women are fitted for that type of work. 1 Timothy 5, 9 through 10. Let not a widow taken into the number under 80 old, having been the wife of one man, while well reported of good works, if she have brought up children, and if she lodged strangers, and if she has washed the saints' feet, if she has relieved the affliction, if she gave diligently, followed every good work. So any work that a woman does in these areas of benevolence is a powerful contribution to the work and what needs to be done in a local congregation, local church. A woman's contribution is also an edification. And edification is an essential work. It involves building up the body of Christ through the work of every member. Ephesians 14, 5 and 16. By speaking in truth and love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual work and the measure of every part, maketh the increase of the body unto edifying of itself in love. So that entitles following such instructions of like, bear one another's burdens, so be. So fulfill the law of Christ in Galatians 6 and 2. And comfort each other and edify one another. 1 Thessalonians 5 and 11. And comfort the faint-hearted and uphold the weak. 1 Thessalonians 5 and 14. So women can also do much to edify the church through even through formal teachings, just not in the assembly of the church. Grandmothers and mothers can teach children. A perfect example is Lois and Eunice, mother and grandmother to Timothy, that Paul wrote two letters to, and we know the work that Timothy did in the church. 2 Timothy 1 and 5, when I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that it in thee also. So they taught Timothy. 2 Timothy 3, 14 and 15. But continue thou in these things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou last heard, learned them, and that from a child hast known the holy scripture, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. Older women can and should teach the younger women. Titus 2, 3 through 5. The aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed, especially where there are people who come into the church without the benefit of godly mothers and grandmothers, in which Christian women can be surrogates, so to speak, through informal words of encouragement. It has been said that men are natural producers, women are natural nurturers. The gift and encouragement of nurturing possessed by many women is essential. Many teachers and preachers have been helped by godly women, encouraging them in their work. And there's a special need for women to see themselves as teachers of the young people, other women, and encouragers of men in their work of preaching the gospel. Where women are involved, the work of edification, the contribution to the work of the local church, it does not go unnoticed. And last point, the women can contribute in evangelism, not in public teaching, but think about evangelism and how important that work is. You take the Great Commission that the Lord gave His church. Go ye therefore in all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. So how are we as men going to go out and evangelize without the help of women? I guarantee it's impossible. Women can do much in this area, providing much needed hospitality. We have the example of Lydia, Acts 16. And a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple of the city of Thyatira, which worshiped God, heard us, whose heart the Lord opened. And she attended unto the things which were spoken of Paul. And when she was baptized in her household, she brought us, saying, If ye have judged me to be a faithful to the Lord, come into my house and abide there. And she constrained us. There was Priscilla, who with her husband provided a place for Paul to stay during his ministry in Corinth, Acts 18, 1 through 4, assisted in the conversion of Apollos there at Ephesus, Acts 18, 24 and 26, even hosted the church at Ephesus in their home, 1 Corinthians 16 and 19, and hosted a church in Rome in their home, Romans 16, 3 through 5. Even without a word, godly women can lead others to Christ, including their unbelieving husbands, as we see in 1 Peter 3, 1 through 2. And many souls have obeyed the gospel, and congregations started through evangelistic efforts because of godly women. And there is certainly much that a woman can contribute in the work of a local congregation. The very act of praying, not again in public, but it's not a small thing. Beyond that, There's a wide range of activities women engage in without going beyond the limitations placed on them for the public assemblies. So a true measure of a local church is not defined only by what occurs in the assembly. It includes what the members do from day to day, at home, at work, and throughout the whole world. And it involves that of benevolence, edification, evangelism, and it takes place on a daily and personal basis. So when godly women are active in the service of the Lord, using their unique talents and opportunities given to them, souls are saved, they are strengthened in the Lord, cared for in times of need, and the local church is made stronger, and the kingdom of God is expanded in the world. So this concludes my thoughts tonight. And I say, for me personally, I'm very thankful for the sisters here at this congregation, sisters and our sister congregations around this region of the world that we know of. We've seen many wonderful works done by them. And we're just not going to do it when we come together in the assembly to give you a speaking part.